Ayo, you are stuck with me yet again. On today's episode, we're talking banner ads, and are they an effective way of targeting your audience in 2017? So great to be here with you tonight. It's a tonight. I'm actually the first time I'm recording a podcast in the evening. I'm just hanging out in my apartment recording this bad boy. I thought, you know what? Let's try to change the scenery up a little bit and add some inspiration, add some flair, maybe add a little bit of different energy to this podcast. So tonight, we're going to be talking banner ads. But before we get into the banner ads, I really want to touch on two things in particular. The tough thing about doing a bi-weekly podcast is one thing. If something happens in the off week, I tend to not be able to be the first one to talk about it, which is unfortunate. So I'm a little late to the party in talking about those things, but please bear with me because I got some things to talk about. First thing I want to talk about is Dropbox and their rebranding. Absolutely fantastic, isn't it? If you've seen their stuff, I mean, they've taken a huge departure, going a very different direction in terms of their marketing, which I'm personally intrigued by because they're still having the same UI and same type of behavior and same type of feel in their product, but their marketing is very colorful, very whimsical, very, I hate to say it this way, but hipster. That's the best way I can think about it because my wife is a hipster, and when I saw their commercial when they came out with it, I was like, it made me think of my wife. But not in a bad way in terms of like, well, that sounded terrible. I love my wife. I think she's fantastic. Those are a terrible mixture of words. What I meant is that the commercial made me feel inspired. Inspired me to want to do something creative, want to go after that creative energy. And their marketing really has, the direction they're taking has really done a good job of really influencing and inspiring their users to do something crazy. I never thought I would be inspired by a file sharing product to go and do something crazy in this world. So congrats to Dropbox. I think it's a fantastic departure. They've redone their logo, which is an amazingly symmetrical logo. They kept the box, but they made the box out of completely diamond shapes. So it's completely symmetrical, very beautiful, very easy on the eyes. They swapping up color backgrounds on it here and there. Amazing. I just can't stop saying how amazing it is. I'm freaking out over it. Good job to Dropbox. Shout out to you guys. I know you're probably not going to be hearing this podcast out, but if you do happen to come across it, awesome. I think you guys have done a fantastic job and took a huge risk that can backfire, but so far it seems to be taken very well by the population and your customers. So congrats to you. The second thing I want to talk about was Google's announcement last week. Now that we're talking, they released a lot of different products with their Google Home updates, as well as a new Google Max speaker that came out with it in terms of being a smart speaker, which was very intriguing. It was a play to really take a shot back at the HomePod from Apple. And then the big thing I really wanted to talk about, though, was the Google Pixel. Wow. Talking about taking shots at Apple, like they took so many shots at Apple in their presentation. It was so funny. They talked about, some cameras out there to be able to take portrait-like photos. They need two lenses. We only use one, was a big one, that they have those really in-depth photos that they can take with just one lens, whereas Apple needs two photos on their Plus model. To be able to do that. And that was the other thing I went after is like they have the Google Pixel and the Google Pixel XL and the Google Pixel 2 XL. They have the exact same features on each device. The only thing that's different about the XL is that it's a bigger screen. And that's something they went after was we don't save our best features for our bigger model and more expensive model. We keep them on both products. And again, shots continually fired during the presentation. And if you look at any of their commercials, please take a look at some of the commercials about the Google Pixel. again, shots continually fired, and they talked about how it takes less than 10 minutes to move, you know, your iPhone stuff to a Google Pixel. They really want you to move over. They've made it really easy. As I said they can do it within less than 10 minutes, switch everything over from your contacts to your messages to your music. They want your business. They think they're the better product. And I have to say, they are the better product at this point in time. I feel like Apple has dropped the ball in terms of the iPhone, you know, really putting all their eggs in the basket of the iPhone 10, and left a lot to be desired for the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus. And to price a phone at $1,000 USD, it's tough. So the true battle has begun between Google and Apple. The reason why I think that is because this is the first time that the consumers have noticed that Google is the better product. So it's going to make the next couple of years very interesting in terms of the iPhone the smartphone market. Looking forward to the battles. Looking forward to talking more about it as the tech continues to evolve. But that's all I had to say with the Google Pixel. If I had all the money in the world, I would hold a Google Pixel phone for work stuff and my iPhone for personal things, because I just love to use both. I'm really intrigued by the technology in both of them. But those are my thoughts on the Google Pixel and as well as Dropbox. So when we come back, we'll be talking banner ads and my viewpoints on them. So please stay tuned. So there are many people, if when asked what they think about advertising, they'll say that, well, they hate it. We are very quick as a people to dismiss and refuse advertising. Most of us would consider advertising a waste of our time. None of us like being sold to, and we hate being manipulated. We don't enjoy people taking up our time with things that we couldn't care less about. Until we do. But more on that in a minute. Today, or shall I say, tonight, we're going to be talking about one piece of advertising in particular that tends to be a subject that is put up for debate quite frequently in the marketing space, but as well in the design space as of late. We're going to talk about banner ads. I'm going to hit on the usefulness of banner ads, what they don't do so well, then I'm just going to put my own take and opinion of what marketers should focus their energies on instead of solving the issue of engaging and converting their audience. As I said earlier, we hate advertising until we do. What I mean by that is we don't like advertising unless the ad is witty, fun, cute, and or delights us in some way. Then we don't mind so much. But one thing people have wondered are why banner ads are still a thing on the internet today, which is a great question. They've been intruding on our space since 1994, almost my whole life, and they haven't evolved much. They are still literally as flashy and annoying as ever, popping up in our faces with an abnormally small exit button that is impossible to find in order to tap or click on it to get it out of our face. Let's get real. For a second, if you had a friend who was like that, talked all the time, kept telling you, hey, notice me trying to be in your face all the time, and wouldn't get out of your face, and kept it being obnoxiously loud, how long would they be your friend for? Brings me back again to the question, why are banner ads still a thing on today's internet, if that's what they're like? Well, it's because they quote-unquote work. It reminds me when I was younger, and the disdain my parents had for telemarketers. If you remember those guys, which they're still around nowadays, but just not as frequent. I've never seen my folks get more riled up than when they went off about telemarketers. The reason why they are bothered by my parents, what reason why they bothered my parents so much, I should say, is because they always tended to call during our dinner time, which is my family considered sacred. It was a time of day where my parents could actually connect with my sister and I after a long day at school. So you can understand to some degree why telemarketers can really get on my parents' nerves. The calls happened so frequently that my parents had to unplug our home phone during dinner. And yes, this was before high school students and middle school students, or maybe even younger, had their own cell phones. After one day hearing my dad grumble one day about telemarketers, as we were about to sit down for dinner, I asked him the question, if everyone dislikes telemarketers so much, why do they keep calling? And my dad simply answered with this, 'cause it works. Some people out there are purchasing things through them. That's why they keep calling. And with that type of mentality is the reason why banner ads still work. I have to say the traditional view of banner ads that we have nowadays doesn't actually work. What I mean is that the flashing, annoying pop-up ads that have no relevance to us and what we're doing don't work. But that's the word to focus on, is the word relevance. Targeted banner ads that come up during an infinite scroll from time to time scattered throughout your content that aren't all up in your grill are the ones where you'll have a more positive outcome. From my experience, just throwing up your ad wherever you please is truly the bane of most users' experience when it has nothing to do with what the user is trying to accomplish. As I stated earlier, banner ads can, and I mean can, stress. I'm stressing the word can here. They can do well if targeted and thought through correctly of what the target audience that they're trying to reach. But therein lies the problem. Most of the time, marketers who are putting in the work to create ads to reach their audiences are actually not relying on banner ads. They are actually going through the targeted social platforms and really not putting a whole lot of stake in their banner ad. For example, native ads in Instagram do very well because A, they're native, so they look like they're part of your feed naturally. But B, they are so well targeted that a lot of the time something may pop up that you actually feel you need or actually want and you actually feel has been helpful for you. These two things lead to a lot of positive click-throughs, thus leading to good leads and good conversion. It all really comes down to good user experience. Make the user feel considered and you will see positive outcomes for your product. People who come back to me tell me that their poorly targeted banner ad is doing well and the numbers are showing to be favorable, I like calling that crap out. Your numbers may be good, but let's get real. They're just vanity numbers. I doubt the quality you're getting from those numbers are high. You just want to look good in front of your boss because you just invested millions of company dollars into a beautiful looking ad that has everything to do with your brand and nothing to do with your end customer or user. And you just want to show off that you kind of know something and didn't completely waste company resources. Targeted banner ads work a lot better, but again, the cost of running those may not be worth it. For the fraction of the cost, you could run a solid social campaign and see the same or better results. Most likely better. Because honestly, social media is where the attention is, not on some random site where your banner ad will appear. A little over 51% of a person's time spent online is on social media. And the other 49% is divided amongst things like paying for utilities, your banking, looking at the weather, sports, and etc. If you're going to do your homework and really seek to give something of value to future customers, why not spend time on an ad that will be seen by numerous people and far more people than a banner ad on a random website that may or not be looked at? Put the work in that will actually yield you some great results. Even here at What's On, that is something I'm currently dealing with in terms of potential clients that we're working with or trying to work with and may have a relationship down the road. Those who don't know what we're about, we are building platforms to help doctors and other health practitioners with their practice. Something like a product that we're working on called Feedcast is a product that is focused on trying to bring relevant medical articles and journals right into a single feed so that a doctor can check it every day and stay up to date on what's going on in their field. Again, something that could be a little more helpful to them. The second project we're working on is to help doctors when they're at their conferences, which are these monstrous conferences, and they just simply let us know what is of interest to them at this conference, and then we pull up everything that would be the most interesting to them so that they don't have to go through the weeds and try to search all these things to figure out what sessions they should go to or what people they should meet. These are things where we're trying to help these medical professionals in these situations. But we're also working with brand companies to get content from them that we would see as being useful to the medical practitioners, that we're trying to help out. So we are going to them and trying to find their target audience and going, and like, you have content on your website that would actually be helpful instead of just seeing a banner ad about a medication. How about you offer them the content you have that would be useful, and then you can get them to your product? But it's funny because they tend not to see it that way. They tend to really get caught up in the stagnant banner ad idea being posted everywhere. I've been in meetings where we'll walk through one of our products describing to our client or a potential client all the benefits that their target audience would get from using us and our products and all the help that we value we offer those potential target audiences and all the places that they can put their targeted content in our system, such as articles, videos, images, etc., to increase the likelihood of engagement with their brand. We would talk like that for about 15 minutes and they would be nodding their head and be on board, so it seemed. Then when we open up for questions, the first thing they would ask is, so where does our banner ad go? And I'm always kind of left scratching my head in bewilderment, wondering, were they listening to anything we were just saying? We just finished telling them about how their content, articles that they've written, videos that they've put together, will bring more value to their target audience than one of their banner ads could. Which, again, targeted content would increase, and I mean increase, engagement with their brand far more than a banner ad could in our system. But their first question out of their mouth is, but where does our banner ad go? And I'm just kind of, again, left so confused. We are literally offering you so many different avenues for people to get back to your brand and be able to, you know, get into contact with what you're trying to sell them. But no, you just want to push that product in their face constantly instead of giving the user some value and then warming them up to your brand. So as I've stated earlier, I mean, I went on a bit of a tangent there, but banner ads can still work, but definitely not better than targeted content. And I do mean there's a difference between targeted banner ads and targeted content. Targeted banner ads is, you know, you're pushing your product onto them. Targeted content is things that you've put together that would actually be of value to a future customer and user. And then you kind of warm them up to your brand that way. And that is something I feel we should be moving more towards, especially in the marketing place or the marketing sector. Is really, I think that is the best way to get engagement with the people and target audience that you're going after. Give your future customers value and they will come. It's not build it and they will come, but give them value and they will come. It takes more time, but in the grand scheme of things, it is far cheaper than putting a bunch of money in a banner ad and where you'll see success, but minimal success, compared to putting out targeted content where you will increase the likelihood of engagement. You've already created the content. Why not put it out there as a guiding sign to the product you eventually would like to sell them? Strive to break out of the status quo. Strive to see how you can bring your future customers value. And in turn, you will see success. And I guarantee you that. So again, thank you for taking the time to listen to this short podcast episode. But that's it for me. Thanks for your time. Have yourself a good day, a good night, a good drive, a good workout, or however else you are listening to this podcast. Thank you again, and see you.